Hello, welcome to the Lightly in PHP podcast. I'm Manuel Lemos, the host of this podcast. This is episode 21. And as always, I have here with me Hernani Joppert to comment on many of the interesting topics and happenings that occurred in the PHP world lately. Hello, Hernani. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. I'm glad to be here. Lots of things to talk about, so looking forward for it.
Okay, and we're going to start with commenting an article that has been published recently that is about mainly the evaluation of many aspects related to open source and proprietary software projects. And the basic conclusion of this report is that open source projects have a very good quality of code with a very low rate of defects, defects per line in average. Actually, they common several open source projects, starting from Linux, PHP, and Postgres. And actually, they comment that PHP is actually one of the lowest defect rate. Hernani, did you look into this article? What were your impressions about this?
Yes, I've read it. It looks very, very nice from the standpoint of the open source world. It seems that it's more truly tested, right? And
right.
Having the community support a big project such as Linux and PHP itself and Postgres, they can really, really summarize the potentials of issues that may arise. And having that community supporting the product really helps.
Yeah, actually, I think this is mainly a reflex of the maturity of the development methods used in open source projects. Many of them have a very good, solid testing frameworks that provide good coverage of the code that is being evaluated to find eventual bugs, so it doesn't ship with many bugs. And this is actually very interesting, an interesting conclusion, because just a few weeks ago, PHP 5.3.10 had to be released, in a rush, because it was found a security vulnerability in the code that was actually being used to implement a workaround to another security vulnerability. And although this report actually points that PHP code is very solid in terms of quality, it seems that somehow the code could still have serious security problems. I think that one of the things that I remembered about this vulnerability is that Stefan Hesser, the developer of the Suhasin patch and extension, he actually commented something interesting in the PHP internals mailing list regarding security problems, which seems to be the fact. I don't know if this is exactly the case, that despite there is this solid testing framework in PHP, it seems the core PHP developers do not seem to be using much tools to analyze the code and find potential security vulnerabilities. And it's a bit ironic to reach this conclusion about this study that scanned several projects, open source projects, and also commercial projects. Hernani, what did you think about this conclusion in contrast with the fact that as Stefan Esser claims, there is not a regular practice of using those tools to find eventual security problems.
Yes, it seems that most of the security issues within PHP, they are very well addressed. Some of those are held up between releases because of the lack of better understanding of the whole procedure of committing patches and etc. And it seems that since the times I used to be more focused on the PHP core itself, it is very hard to be welcome at that community. I know that it may be problematic because to evaluate somebody's work, it's hard, especially when it is related with the PHP core itself. But Stefan has produced a very, very nice work here, piece of work. Suhasin implements lots of security addresses lots of security issues itself. And I haven't been using it, but it makes myself curious to implement it and ensure that at least my servers or the servers that I would deploy into production level would be more secure.
Right. Actually, and I've been testing it, so as in my development environment, and from what I can see, it really does not affect much the code that you are running. I didn't see any warnings that may lead me to be more cautious in implementing it in production. So I really plan to implement it in production, which should happen very soon. Actually, by the time that people will be listening to this podcast, it may have been already implemented, because I'm just waiting for a new proposal to upgrade the PHP classes site server to a better server, and it should happen in the next days, probably next week, and we'll see. But anyway, as you pointed out, Stefan Esser is very skilled at finding these vulnerabilities. But what he suggested is that it seems that he uses those tools, those commercial tools. I forgot their names, but they commented them in the PHP internals mailing list, and basically he says that people are not using those tools. If they would use those tools, they would probably catch many of those bugs. So I think there is room for improvement, at least improve it further, the quality of the development of PHP core code. And, I don't know if it is something hard, because I think some of the tools that he mentioned seem to be commercial. I'm not sure if that is the case, but there are commercial companies involved in PHP development. Obviously, Zend is one of them, and so I'm sure that money is not an issue regarding using those tools. And although after you put it, it seems obvious that they should be using those tools, maybe it was just the lack of practicing on using those tools that could justify the fact that they were not using it in the past. But I think it would be wise, not just for PHP core development, but any other open source project. I think those tools they mentioned are for auditing code in C and C++, which is the case of PHP. Moving on with our podcast, we're going to just comment a bit briefly on something that is not exactly about PHP, but is somewhat related and concerns most PHP developers, which is the fact that Apache 2.4 was finally released after 5 or 6 years without a major release.
Oh, yes, that was a major release and has lots of benefits. But just before moving to that topic, I just wanted to still talk about the Suhasin part.
Yeah.
The other thing that I saw that is quite difficult is when you have Suhasini implemented within your servers and you have a problem, there was some issues addressing any issues regarding that specific installation. And I hope, and this is my personal request here, that the community joins forces and try to assist whenever they can. And if Suhasini could be, or some of Suhasini implementations could be promoted to the PHP itself, it would be really, really better.
Well, according to Stefan Esser, that always happens. And that seemed to be one complaint that he had, is that when he presents the problems, there is a frequent refusal to admit that the problems exist, and refusal from the core developers that are involved in the PHP security team, which, from what I understood, they are gathered in a closed mailing list. So we don't even know who they are. I think, from what I remember, I saw Pierre Joy mentioned that he was one of the persons that were involved, and
hopefully they are not anonymous, right?
that would be an interesting irony, right?
Oh yeah,
I'm sure there are people from Zend involved, and probably Rasmus himself.
I see,
because they are key people in the PHP development, but probably the release managers. And well, in the case of PHP 5.4, that there would be Stas Malyshev and David Soryapara, and actually it doesn't really matter exactly who are those people. What matters is that there is that closed team, and I remember that Stefan Esser was part of that team many years ago, and he excluded himself from that team. I'm not sure what was the problem. I'm sure. I think it was about disagreements in the how to handle all these problems of security, what should and should not be addressed. Because there are some complaints that Suhasini will slow down PHP like 10%. Well, I think if it's just 10%, it's not a big deal. Anyway, regarding your comment that you mentioned that they should all gather forces. From what Stefan Esser mentioned, that will never happen because there will always be disagreements. And Suhasini itself is the proof that those disagreements exist. So he says that there will always be reasons to exist Suhasini, which is basically an extension that mitigates problems, and since as long as he's the only person that controls its development, it does not depend on agreeing with the others to have that extension being developed precisely to mitigate those security problems. Well, it's a shame. Unfortunately, as you hope, it is not going to happen. And I'm afraid we'll see more of these episodes of security problems not being addressed until somebody from outside, which was the case of the guys that raised the bar, the problem about that security problem of the parameters, the request parameters being sent in very large quantities to flood PHP and make it very slow, and which was one of the problems that Suhasini addressed many years ago. And well, if you hope for a more secure PHP installation, whether or not you like the idea, I'm afraid that Suhasini is the way to go. And well, now back to the actual topic that I was starting, which was about the just released version of Apache 2.4. Hernani, what do you think were the most important features that would be worth commenting and would be in the interest of the PHP developers that may be considering to an eventual upgrade of their Apache server version?
Yes, I guess the major one, since we've been discussing this, is the event npm, which is no longer experimental, but it's now fully supported as the core enhancements. They have some new modules, like the ones that I like is the ModProxy FCGI, which is the FastCGI protocol backend for ModProxy.
Well,
and,
the, I mean, they are have it now built in, right?
Yes, they are new modules, and they are built in within the server itself.
So it's so not it's, exactly a new feature, just integrated.
Yeah. And as far as I can understand, this is a previous module, but what is now integrated with the Apache itself. And other than those, the reduced memory usage, which makes sense to my understanding. But it's always good to see that people are working on this effort.
Right.
And there are some other competitors which we know about. Nginx is one of those, and right. Node.js as well on some portion. But it's nice to see that Apache is keeping up with their right. Work, and this is my overview of it.
Right. It seems that there are not many new features for such a long development period of 5 or 6 years. But anyway, those new features are quite welcome. And, I would just like to make a couple of comments on something that you mentioned regarding other competitors, web servers, that are eventually getting more attention, precisely the comment on Nginx. And basically, I don't know if you are aware, but Nginx is now the second most used web server after Apache, which is the great leader.
Right.
And the interesting thing on that is it being the second, it means it surpassed the share of Microsoft IIS. And I think this means a lot because in the past the competition used to be Apache versus Microsoft IIS, and over time Microsoft is losing ground on many web-related areas, not just in web servers as we are seeing, but also in browsers. Microsoft Internet Explorer is losing ground every time. Among developers, its share is quite small. In the case of PHP developers, just looking at statistics of the users that access the PHP classes site, it is now less than 10%, which is a very small fraction. I'm sure other users in general use Internet Explorer much more because it's still the default browser in Windows, and Windows is still the leading platform on the desktop. This is just to say that Microsoft is losing share in many web-related areas, and I'm sure that many developers that for some reason do not sympathize with Microsoft are quite happy with that, but I think an healthy competition environment would mean that all the companies or open source projects will be active on developing their products. So the competition benefits the whole market because each company or project is trying to get their products even better, and in the end everybody would benefit. And the other comment that I wanted to mention is related both with Node.js, as you comment, and also the new mode of processing that is being introduced as officially supported, which is the npm event, which is an alternative to the npm prefork, which is what most PHP developers use when they run their websites. Basically, the prefork consists in having PHP each PHP request being handled by a separate process. And there is also the worker processing mode, which is basically multi-threading. But usually this is not recommended because not all PHP extensions are thread-safe. And now this event processing mode, I'm not sure if it will be ever supported by PHP, because from what I understood, it's quite complicated, and this was somewhat related with the way that Node.js works. For those that are not familiar, Node.js is an implementation of a virtual machine of JavaScript running on top of a Google V8 JavaScript engine. And Node.js comes with a built-in web server, which means that you can write web applications just writing JavaScript code using those Node.js modules. And Node.js, using that HTTP server module that comes with it, works in the event-driven mode. Yeah, this means that there is a single process handling all the requests, and every request that comes in is handled asynchronously. So this means every time a request is handling a synchronous operation, another request can be handled, and this makes a much better use of memory and makes Node.js more suitable for things that require too many simultaneous requests without exhausting the machine memory. And now with Apache Event, it, in theory, it would and be able to also work this way, but PHP would have to be adapted to work together with this new mode. I don't know if and when it will happen. It seems that from my first impressions, it will take a few years to happen. Anyway, one thing that I saw being commented on the PHP internals list is that if you want to use Apache 2.4 even in prefork mode, it is still not quite ready because some things were changing in Apache, and it's not there are a few problems to solve to make PHP compile. So we have to wait and see. Probably you have to wait for PHP 5.4.1, because PHP 5.4.0 is probably being released very soon. It actually, its release was postponed again. I got it because of that security problem. And for those that were willing to try PHP 2.4, they have to wait for those problems of building PHP to be fixed. So, Hernani, were you considering to try Apache 2.4 now, or you are not so much in a hurry?
No, I'm not in a hurry. Lately, I've been investigating other technologies as well, and Apache somewhat is a done deal for me. I know how it works. The versions that I have here, which is 2.3 something, works very nice, and so far haven't had any issues, and it does the job very well.
Well, actually, the odd versions are the unstable or not recommended. And anyway, I use Apache 2.2, and I'm also not in a hurry, because despite of the advantages of Apache 2.4 are interesting, are tempting, I think I would need to give it some serious testing before I decide to move on. Well, that is all about Apache that we have to say. So we are going to move on with the next section of this podcast. Actually, I would just like to comment on an initiative that is sort of a relaunch of an initiative that was launched originally in 2002, which is the Friends of the Site initiative. Basically, this is an initiative to encourage current users of the PHP Casa site to bring more friends to the site. The idea is that if you know somebody that could benefit from the resources available in the site, you could recommend them to come to the site. And for every user that registers in the site because you lead that user, you'll be credited, and there is a ranking that shows the top users that brought our users to the site. And this initiative, is, as I said, is not new. It exists since 2002. Since then, over 25,000 users were brought to the site thanks to those friends. The current top friends has practically 400 users. This means that 400 friends of the site brought those 25,000 users, and this certainly helped the site to grow, because some of those users actually became contributors of the site and shared interesting components. So what's new in this initiative is that now the site is making it easier for you to refer the site to other users, and eventually being credited for any new users that you register in the site, because if you look at the navigation bar of practically all pages, there are some buttons for you to refer your friends in social networks like Facebook and Google Plus One, Twitter, and others. And what's exactly new is that the URLs that are passed to those social networks contain some special parameters that help identifying you when you share those pages that you find interesting in the site. When you share those pages in the social networks, those parameters that are passed in the URLs that are shared identify you, and you are credited for referring your friends to the site. That is one of the new things. Now you just if you want to participate in this initiative and be credited, get some recognition for being a friend of the site, you have these buttons which are now adapted to refer to identify you as a referrer. And the other thing that is new is that apart from a page that shows the top friends of the site, there are a couple of new pages that show different tops. One of them shows the top friends of the site that actually led authors, led users that became authors and contribute to the site. And there is one top page for that. And there is another top page which is slightly different. Instead of accounting the number of authors that each friend sent, it accounts the number of packages that those authors submitted to the site. And it's interesting because it lets everybody that wants to be a friend of the site and participate in this referral initiative to actually see how far they have gone, and how successful has been their efforts to help the site. Hernani, have you seen these tops of friends of the site?
Yes, I've seen it so far. This really motivates the contribution, and it is very nice to see these implementations coming up. And one point that you mentioned here, there are three main tabs here on the friends page. And there is one here, which is the top friends led by authors or author packages. Those are more concise statistics, which can help to see measurement of your true reach on social networks, such as Google+, Facebook, right, Twitter, etc. So if I like a package and I immediately put it on my Google+, or my Facebook, or my Twitter, it would help other users to come to the site, and I'll be credited for it. So it's very nice to see this happening.
Right. Actually, I didn't notice. Are you one of those 400 authors that already... Authors, I mean friends, that sent any new registered users to the site, or...
No, I am not, but I will try to. And this really motivates me to go forward and
right.
to see this going on.
Maybe you were not aware about this. This was released in 2002, and since then were not much advertising about this interesting feature. Well, the idea more than just helping the site is just to show some fun and statistics. I hope people they have fun and also try to be helpful, not just sharing on interesting pages in social networks. They also can go on forum sites tell other people, for instance, when they ask for a solution to a problem for which there is a class or some other resource in the page in the site to let them know there is this facility to
The one point is that I wasn't aware and I don't have a blog, so it wouldn't be fair to compare my reach with others, but I really like it, and it surely will help other members of the sites to promote their work and at least help the PHP classes and get something back in this process. So
right.
It's nice to see it going forward like that.
And I hope also these rankings, these top charts, also motivate people to see how they are doing, and they keep getting better in referring friends to the site, because after all this is a community site, and the more people you bring in, the more people can share their work, and they will also benefit from the eventual work that those people share. Other than those buttons that have special parameters, there is also a way which existed since the beginning of this initiative in 2002 to refer friends of the site, which just consists in making a small alteration to the URL of the page that you are referring. For instance, if you the URL is www.phpclasses.org and something else in the front, you just replace the www part by your access name, and followed by a dot, then the name users, and then the dot. For instance, if your account is your access name is Joppert, I think it's yours, right?
Yes.
You just pass an URL which should be joppert.users.phpclasses.org, and this is a very easy way to refer pages to other people that you want them to see. And if anybody asks why there is that prefix in the URL, joppert.users.phpclasses.org, feel free to let other people know that this is a part of the Friends of the Site initiative, and you want to know how far you are being successful in leading more people to the site. And anyway, this is just an interesting initiative. There will be other enhancements regarding this, but I have not finished them. Anyway, we are recording the podcast a few days before. There will be an announcement article in the blog of the site, which I'll also mention in the podcast article. You will have more details about what and why you would participate in this initiative. Well, now moving on our podcast, reaching the end of the podcast, we have a couple of regular sections on which we comment about a few components. First, in the JS Classes site, which is the PHP Classes brother site, and since many PHP developers also use JavaScript in their projects, it is always interesting to comment a few of the latest components that have been published in the JS Classes site. So, Hernani, would you like to start? Which of the latest JS Classes components you would like to mention?
Yes, I have found two which are very interesting. I'll go from my priority order here, my order of preference. So, the first one is a RoboTamer backup. It's from an American user from the United States, Dennis T.
No,
Kemp.
Wait, you are talking about the PHP ones. I'm talking first to the...
Oh, yeah. So the JS classes, right?
Right.
Sorry.
We'll get back to that.
Yes, I just had those in order here, so sorry. So yes, I found two on the JS classes site as well. The first one is FileDrop. So far, it's from a Russian Federation friend. His name is Pavel, but I don't have his surname. Hopefully, he can update it later on. But
probably it's very hard to spell too.
Oh yeah, somehow. But this file drop, basically what it do, this object can handle file upload, drag and drop operations. I've seen this functionality is implemented in Wiki, which helps documenting and attaching things and by just dragging and dropping files, etc. So this is something that is very useful, especially when you're talking about JavaScript.
Right. And since there are some differences between browsers,
oh, yeah.
this object provides an abstraction. And so you can have a solution that works in all browsers that support somehow drag and drop files for uploading.
Yeah, and one of the mentions of the user is that it uses file API if the browser supports it,
right.
Or uses iframes otherwise.
Right, and other than that, it is also interesting that it provides means to listen to several types of events relating to the whole drag and drop and the upload operations. So you can listen to when there is a drag started and dropped. Actually, I'm not sure if drag is supported, but I think it's the case. And when somebody dropped the file in a certain target element, as well when the actual upload started, how far the upload has gone. I think this requires the file API, as you mentioned, to know the how far the upload has gone, because this uses AJAX requests. If possible to measure to send up file uploads, because at least in the past it was not possible to do file uploads with AJAX requests. You would have to use iframes as it was mentioned.
Oh yeah,
because you couldn't just configure. You don't have access to the actual contents of the file when you do the uploads.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise, it would be a security problem. I mean, the browser JavaScript cannot access the contents of the files.
Yes.
And so it doesn't know how large is the file and how much has been sent and so on. Anyway, it's a very interesting component. Other than that, any other that you would like to mention?
Yes. I like the HTML5 canvas puzzle. It's a class that implements a game of shuffling an image in part as in a canvas. So it takes an image and splits it in multiple pieces, and then you can play a very tile-based game. It's very nice to see these kinds of implementations. And the user is a Spanish user. His name is Daniel Martinez. Congratulations. Right. It's really nice to see this here.
Actually, it is interesting because Daniel has been sending several interesting objects, and for that he is actually ranked higher. He's currently the number two and the top authors that have been having more users downloading his packages, and he previously sent a class that makes it easier to create games and updating the frames of games with different picture. Graphics as representing the game objects, and somewhat the. If not based on the other class, this puzzle game seems to be using the same principles of to render graphics on canvas. In this case, it would be a puzzle of made of images that can be tiled, and the number of tiles of the game vary depending on the difficulty level, And apart from the game itself, I think what is more interesting is the fact that looking at Daniel Code, you can learn how to do things which in the end are very simple. In this case, manipulating graphics on canvas. But for those that want to learn, this seems to be yet another great example of code that can be useful for for anybody that wants to learn. Well, on my part, I also like to comment a couple of common components, JavaScript components. One of them is SimTaco, which is basically Hernani, have you noticed the way the Facebook loads pages? Sort of renders first a skeleton, and then it fills the inner parts of the skeleton.
Oh yes, I've seen it.
So this object by Ansel Hartmann from Switzerland somehow provides a way to implement that approach using JavaScript and AJAX requests to retrieve the content and update the pages incrementally, and it gives a good feeling of page loading speed, which is great and very, very nice to anybody that is interested in knowing how to implement those things. So kudos to Ansel, and I hope he can keep sending more interesting components like this. Other than that, another component that I would like to comment from our top contributor, Arthur Sossins. Every month we have all these nice components to comment about from him. And there are several of them this month, but unfortunately, we don't have to comment on all. I'll just comment on this one, which is actually one of the coolest components that he sent so far, which is basically a visual effect that imitates a lightning bolt that is being rendered on top of any image, any page elements using canvas objects to render that lightning effect. It's actually very cool because he managed to emulate the glow effect of a lightning bolt, and as well the randomness of the directions that the lightning bolt follows until it reaches the ground. And it is very interesting because you can put it on a specific element, and you can also animate the lightning bolt like you see in one of the examples, that you can drag the mouse pointer around the page, and the end of the lightning bolt follows the mouse pointer, and it gives a nice effect. It seems that is electrocuting somebody using this effect. And kudos again for Artus for sending yet another a nice component. Well, there are several other nice components. Actually, you comment about a few more in the Lately in JavaScript podcast. So those of you that are interested to listen to our comments about the other components can listen to that podcast and learn more about those components. Now we are going to move on to our final section of the podcast, which is to comment on the latest components that were nominated to the Innovation Award. Actually, they were nominated in December, so they were voted during January. So this month, February, they were announced. All were the final results, and this month we had six nominees. They are all great classes. We don't have exactly enough time to comment on all of them, but we're going to comment a few. And any from those that you have seen, what seemed to be the most interesting ones?
Oh yes, I guess I've already started it
right
before, but I'll start with the order of preference here. RoboTimer backup is something that seems to be very useful, not for the standpoint of PHP, but for the day-to-day activities. And since PHP can be scheduled in a cron tab, and a user can benefit from the PHP knowledge, it can help backing up files using rsync. So
right.
It does read from an ini file configuration, the values that define at least right. the source and destinations. And it executes the rsync program to synchronize the file between the source and destination, as usual rsync processes do.
Right.
And you can exclude some list of files and define them as separate execute files, since rsync does that. But it logs some informations, and a separate PHP file is created with the values of the current backup session. So then it can be read next time the backup process is executed. Mm-hmm. And this somewhat is helpful for solutions like WordPress, etc. It can benefit from it when doing some crazy backup situations or between versions or major versions changes. So right. I see this as a very useful package.
Actually, this class from Dennis Kaplan from the United States uses rsync, for, as you mentioned, but for those that may not be familiar about this program, rsync is basically a program. It would be something external to PHP. PHP just calls that program, and the class helps in passing the necessary parameters to the program to configure rsync. And what rsync does is to synchronize files from one directory to another. The remote, actually the source and remote, the source and destination directories can be in a remote machine, could be using SSH protocol to make the transfer secure, so nobody can tap onto your connection and see that you are transferring it, to minimize the amount of data that is transferred. Because if it is just updating some files in the destination. Well, other than that, rsync tries to be as efficient as possible, because when it's transferring files between source and destination directories, it just transfers the data that has changed. So you can compare files, not just in size and timestamps, but also the contents. So if a file has been changed just partially, it transfers only the portions of the file that have changed. So this is good for incremental backups, and that is why using rsync is great, and it is good to also use a class like this that helps to configure the use of rsync directly from PHP. Other than that, any other class that you would like to mention?
Oh yes, the second one is the PayPal Invoice API. It's from Mubashir Ali. He's from Pakistan. And basically, it creates and manages invoices within PayPal Invoicing API. And I guess it explains it for itself. So it can send HTTP requests to the PayPal Invoicing API web server, perform right. several operations to create and manage sales invoices.
Yeah, it's basically just a use of an existing API, but it's actually very useful. And there were no component before that could be used to generate invoices. Despite this is still an external service, it's great that you can do it directly from PHP to generate invoices. And many people that are involved in businesses, they need to issue invoices to their customers, and I'm sure this class will be very useful to anybody that is interested in using it. And on my part, I also like to comment on a couple of classes. One of them is precisely the class that was number one, WebSocket service, by Nathan Brewer from the United States. And this is, at least from what I know, the first implementation of WebSocket protocol purely written in PHP, I mean on the server side, of course. And for those not familiar with WebSockets, this is basically a recent standard that was meant to define a means for browsers communicate with the servers interactively. So there will be a sort of a channel to communicate from the browser to the server and another to from the server to the browser, and all this on top of HTTP requests. And what this class does, it's actually far out, because not only it takes care of handling the connections to the server, this is basically a component that will listen to a socket and handles the requests all in PHP, so you don't need a web server to use this. And also it uses child processes to handle each of the connections, so it is able to handle simultaneous connections of different web sockets, eventually from different users.
That's really nice.
Right, so if you want to implement, for instance, a chat service, you could use something like this. The only drawback it's the fact that WebSocket standards is still recent, so unfortunately it's not supported yet by all browsers being used in by most of the users on the web. But for those that are already using them, I think at least Chrome and Firefox, if I am not mistaken, already support it. Not sure about the others. Anyway, this is something that it's the future for interactive communications between browsers and servers.
Oh yeah.
Using WebSockets, you don't have to rely on hacks to implement interactive communications. And the web applications can be even faster than they are today. So kudos to Nation for this great component that implements WebSockets, at least on the server side, in pure PHP. And other than that, the other component that I would like to comment about, it's one named Aroba by Evaldo Barbosa from Brazil. And this is actually a very interesting class that seems to address something that has been asked many, many times by different developers to the core developers. But actually, we had Guilherme Blanco here in the past commenting about his proposal to implement annotations in PHP. And it seems that the proposal ended up being refused, and so there are no native support in PHP to implement annotations. But this did not stop Evaldo to implement an alternative way to implement annotations, which is basically on top of comments that you put on classes. For those not familiar with the purpose of annotations, Hernani, I think this comes mainly from the Java world, and you are more familiar with the Java world. Can you give a brief explanation of what annotations can be good for?
Oh yes, the Java world probably introduced this. I'm not sure if other legacy languages used to do so, but annotations can be used for several kinds of tasks. Most of them are dependency injection, which you can annotate something to be injected into a class loading mechanism, such as Spring Framework does in the Java.
Right, but for PHP developers that are not familiar with the Java world, what would be some interesting use cases that you find?
I never had used any other frameworks in the PHP that I can tell about, but I'm sure that Doctrine would use it in its implementation, since it's very well object oriented.
Right. I mean, what would be the purpose of using annotations?
Yes, for dependency injection, it's a design pattern. So,
right.
If anybody's interested.
And for those that are not familiar with dependency injection, what could be some simple examples that they could find useful to use annotations?
Yes, I was going to tell about that right away. The point is unit testing. You can use annotations to process some specific parameters, similar alike on the server side, let's put it this way. You can implement specific behaviors of classes, so it will behave differently based off on annotations. And other than that, it's hard to explain. It's just a concept, and I just know the theory. I just know the practical use. I don't know the theory.
Right. I think another purpose that you did not comment is, for instance, the object relational mapping, on which you need to tell the any framework or tool that generates code which variables map to variables of the object map to which tables and fields in the database. And for those
this was first implemented using Xdocklet, which was a legacy technology that you could use XML to annotate your code, and later on the Java annotations improve this with the annotations, and for Hibernate, which was the most famous ORM tool. Then later on, Doctrine has its own implementation in PHP. Could use annotations to declare specifics of mapping a database table or an entity, as they would call.
So in
and
this
Java,
case.
Java Performance API does that as well. So
in this case, this implementation by Evaldo, which basically allows to extract annotation parameters from comments, it's all done in pure PHP. Do you think there is a disadvantage when compared to Guilherme Blanco's proposal to do it natively?
Yes, I am sure that everything native would perform better. But it's just the adoption.
But
if you need to do it within your code, it's nice to see somebody creating a component that can be benefited from without having the need to be native. And since most annotation tasks are done just to help you generate code or somehow to help your reflection classes to perform better, it's hard to tell, but having this as an external implementation is very helpful.
Right, but usually annotations are used are not used at a runtime, right? Just at code generation time.
No, yeah, sometimes it is through reflection, and sometimes it's just for tooling and for scanning the code and ensuring that you're reading the proper annotations.
But what would be the cases they would be using at runtime? I mean, when you have a site in production, would you use annotations to do anything useful?
Yes. When you're using dependency injection, you probably would have a class loading mechanism, which would then scan for your classes and probably then investigate the annotations within that class in order to behave as it should through the annotation directives.
Okay, anyway, for those that were looking forward to have an implementation of annotations, they can use Evaldo Barbosa implementation. Since it is done in pure PHP, it doesn't require one of the latest versions. It can work on older versions. For those that were interested on this, they can look further into this class. And this basically concludes our podcast. It was yet another great podcast. I'd like to thank you again, Hernani, for coming.
Yes, very welcome to be here, and glad to participate.
Well, I'm glad too, because your insights are always useful, especially your experience in the Java world and whatever PHP has been adopting from that world. And I think for me, that's all for now. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.